I'd like to say hello to everybody. I hope everybody's feeling good this morning. The place where I'm at here, the beautiful sunshine is penetrating the wind and coming straight on into the room, and it's a beautiful, inspirational thing to just have the sunlight. I made to think about life so often, you know, we take life for granted, as the old thing goes, and yet, as it was said in the days of Job, all that a man's got, he'll give for his life. But I think how wonderful life is. I think of how careless people are with life. And then I think, of course, of extended life, because here we have but a temporal life. And then having a temporal life here, we overlook the fact that it is a temporal life, and that all of our efforts here is like a dressing room getting ready for the real life and that great wonderful day that God is going to make the expose of his people and present them as the great wonderful people that they are. They are great, wonderful people. As a matter of fact, they are preordained to be gods, or they are preordained to be sons and daughters of God as the God family. Your bodies is the temple of God. We so often talk to you about the dispute over the body. The dispute over the body is something that is outstanding in the Bible, because the whole thing starts in the garden with the dispute over the body, and Satan disputed it and took the body, stole the body, went away out of the presence of the light of God, the things of God, and took it into the intellectual darkness of the world, set up his regime and his powers and his greatness in all of the frolics of life. And even though we have the right to all of the things of life, the birds and the fish and the sea and the stars, the breeze and the sunshine and the eating and the drinking, and he has given us the diamonds and the gold and the silver, and all of that belongs to God, belongs to us. And all that Jesus did at Calvary, all of his sufferings that he went through with, all of his masteries, all of his riches and splendors and wisdom, all belongs to us through the sacrificial virtues of Calvary, in that he is at the right hand of the Father, and it is over and finished. And as he is there in glory, so are we in this present world, living this present life, because he has so bypassed the middle wall of partition as to the bodily image that Satan has contaminated, gone directly into our hearts, set up his kingdom, and there being no middle wall of partition between the inner you as the angelic you and the angelic him, which is Christ and you together within the interwovenness of a oneness within the kingdom of God, there you have perfect communication without interference. But inasmuch as the body has not been changed and still subject to the five human senses for survival, Satan, being the prince of this world and having stolen it from Adam, is still in power and authority, and still the very days are evil, and there is an enticement and an alluring toward you and your desire, your inner man, to pull him out into this body and into the reveling of this body and into the desires of the fleshly things and the vain jangles, that once you're taken out into it, it becomes a web where Satan can fasten himself to you, interfere with all kind of thoughts, creating a continual warfare against the inner man. And that's why the Bible said, abstain from fleshly desire or lust that warreth against the soul. And don't make provisions for the things of the flesh, but rather things for the inner man. Don't despise your body. Don't hate your body, because your body is not to blame. Your body is the temple of God. be an example, even in your youth, of God, and give all of your strength, your talents, your ability, your appearance, and don't try to do things that are abnormal, but be in moderation in all things, and use your body and mind and whatever there is for Christ, because it is virtuous and it is cleansed by the blood of Jesus being on the mercy seat during these church ages. But any time that you're out in sin, God looks beyond the church ages. He looks beyond the blood on the mercy seat and as to the time when it will come off. And he sees you changing into the beast. And he hates and despises your image. All things before knowledge, therefore, he foresees, preordains and sees these things. And if he sees the contrary nature and sees you're not going to be born again, then he despises your image, because all that you'll ever do through life is just to cause him heartaches and troubles and misuse your body by allowing it to go to Satan. This is why the Bible says, I keep under my body, Paul said, and I bring it into subjection, lest happily after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. So then use the body, modify, mortify the deeds of the body in moderation, and don't misuse the body, but use it according to what God had intended for it to be, and live a normal, peaceful, quiet life. And God will bless you, magnify you, and give you the desire of your heart. And he will transformate you in mind into the wonderful chains of that celestial body that will have the Shekinah glory of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you are even the light most precious of that city as a jasper stone, or the light shining within your strength as that great wonderful light of the super understanding, of that revelated understanding that comes from God. We preach the mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world, because God has made it a revelation. That's why we refer to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not as to the revelation of Jesus Christ that the Bible speaks of in the New Testament as the last book of the Bible, which is a separate book strictly for the Jews, or that period, that seven-year period that of Daniel's last week, which is not to be tampered with, added to, or taken away, but the revelation of the Son of God, or the revelation of the mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world, that covers all things, and that allows you also to study and to try to understand that of the book of Revelation, that whatever God will reveal to you of that, as well as the rest of the Bible, that you might understand the wonderful mysteries of Christ. So then, this wonderful revealed mystery is the proper way to refer to it. God has given it to you, for great is the mystery of godliness. For the Bible said God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and caught up into heaven. Now, so then, this morning as I talk to you about these things, I'm trying to exhort you to remember that the dispute is over the body, and the whole thing in this world centers around the body. God sent his Son in the likeness of a sinful body, because the sentence of death was in the body. Therefore, there's no good thing in the body. All flesh, having corrupted its way before God. Therefore, God has laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, and having been bruised for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. He hath died, therefore, to take away the sins of the world, or the sins of all the body, that the body should know no sin during the church ages, to the extent that God would forgive and allow for the stumblings and staggerings of the flesh, because it has been infiltrated with Lucifer and his evil doings, and his goal is to recaptivate and to catch its attention, to bring it through the washing of the water of the Word, through Calvary, to save it by new birth, through crucifying the body by faith in what Jesus did for you, and baptizing you into his death by faith of what he did for you, as you go down into the watery grave, and bring you up in the resurrection of what he did for you as a body, soul, and spirit into hell and paradise and into the grave, to show you the resurrection of you being at the right hand of the Father, that you dwell in heaven with him today by virtue of what he did, so that that body, those mistakes, will not be charged against you. That's why the Bible said, blessed is he unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is that man, and blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, covered by the blood, and his iniquities are gone. He is the God that forgiveth all of our iniquities, healeth all of our diseases. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness, even your faith, to the extent of putting within you the faith of Jesus Christ, which faith is the righteousness of God, sanctifying our hearts and his spirit of holiness, to bring the fruits of the Spirit unto eternal life, comes into our body, and knowledge to transformate our minds into the oneness of God, that the wonderful mind of Christ might be in us, so we might have full measure, the full stature of the full reward of the wonderful Christ, that we might be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, being the apple of his eye. So then, in these things, as we minister to you, we're trying to make you understand the beauty of the body as the temple of God, and as it is used for God, and as in the new birth, old things have passed away, and you are now a new creature in a new world, and doing new things, and should not let sin reign in your body, not in your mortal body, not for a moment, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought, anything having any virtue in them or being lovely and pure, to think on these things, that we might keep the seepage out. You know, it's like pipes in the ground. Where there is seepage, it's coming in around the pipes, and you can't stop the seepage. Even if you have dry ground, eventually rain will come, and some seepage will come, and sometimes different things will come that's undesirable. But though they come through a seepage, they can't get into your pipes. On the inside, you're sealed in this wonderful connection with God, straight from your heart to his heart, from your spirit to his spirit, your world to his world, and the water is pure, coming right out of the well to you, and therefore you drink the wonderful living water. And the Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow the rivers of living water. And that wonderful, beautiful living water comes flowing out of your innermost beings, because God has given you that living water straight from the pipes of glory, coming out of the kingdom of God within you. So then we drink from that water, not only that, but as wells of salvation, we draw water out with joy, and as rivers of living water, we flow out as our cup runs over to all the world. And as a tree that putteth forth its branches with the sap of God, God's tree is full of life and sap. They're giving forth the fruits that all of the people of the land may eat thereof, of the tree of life, of which you are, and not the tree of knowledge and the tree of death. So don't specialize in knowledge that puffeth up, but rather in understanding and love and charity that edifies. And always love the Lord. Love brings faith. Faith works by love. And faith means that you hear the word, you believe the word, and you're on a journey from a little baby as to a beginning of birth, and a transformation of mind until you reach the wonderful Canaan of diplomacy, or that is, until you step out into the land of milk and honey. And during all of this time, you're following every thought, every word, every measure of the mind, and that's another faith, another measure of faith. And you hear that, and you believe that, and you hear that, and believe that, and through faith, you're moving right on into Canaan to the full measure, the full stature of that full blessing and reward. So being new creatures in a new world to a wonderful new thing, then let your day, even today, be a bright, wonderful day for God, and win a soul, and keep the body under subjection. Keep it in its place, and let the spiritual Christ on the inside, the mind of God, have preeminence, and let all of your goals be not toward the world, intangible forces, intangible sources, but let it be toward spiritual things and heavenly things, and delight yourself in heavenly things, and get a vision to where it creates a joy of inspiration within the spirit and heavenly things, and conversation that is in heaven. That way there is a joy to it, and you will find it, and it is so abundant until it will override all of the joys of the frivolousness of those natural sources or tangible things that are called matter. And you'll override those things, and you won't desire the other, and yet God will give you all of the other that you need for that which is necessitated to life, and bless you with the desires of your heart. So then God will not take from you, has given you the world and all that is in the world, and all things are yours, whether this world or the world to come, whether life or whether death. And God has given it all to you just because you love Him. But folks, don't drift away from God. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your soul over the beggarly elements of the world. Don't turn back into Egypt in your heart and be entangled again in the beggarly elements of the world, lest the latter end with you be worse than the beginning. So then today I leave these thoughts with you, just a few thoughts that might be encouraging to you, so that you can think this over very seriously as to differentiating between the body and the spirit, and the use of the body as for this world and the world to come, and whether you use it for the glory of God or whether you use it for the glory or the fashions of this world that will pass away. Don't go after fame and popularity and money and prestige. Don't go after things. Go after God, and all of the other will automatically follow you. And God will do you as David of old, raise you up and give you a name like unto the great men of the world, raise you up like Abraham, and raise you up like all of the great men like Paul and other great people in the world. He will raise you up and magnify you to no end. But don't look for that. Don't desire that. Don't want that. Want Him. Desire Him. Follow Him. Because all of the other is vanity and leads to a great web of death and sorrow and horror and terror that can never be expressed in human words or terminology. So then today I leave this with you. I trust that everything be well with you. And as we're going to pray a prayer here, that for your sake that you pray, and that you believe that God will hear you, because it is your faith, and the more that you utilize your abilities and faith in God, the stronger your faith will get, and the more you will have your blessings. I appreciate all the prayers for us. Everything is fine with us. We're feeling fine. And when we came up here, we did not know that they was going to take us and admit us here. They wanted to run tests, and they wanted to do certain things here, and they wanted us here for that. We did not know that. We thought we were just coming to Atlanta here just for a call. And that's why we're up here. They're saying they will turn us loose tomorrow morning. Probably could get out today if I'd press. But nevertheless, I thought I'd just see it through, because our room is nice and big. It's got plenty of room and seating, even special seating for people to come in and visit with us. And it's giving Betty and I a chance to relax just a little bit. So let's just pray together. As we pray together, believe the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we call on you today, not because we are good, but because you are good. And Lord, not because we have the right to, but because you have given us the right through your grace and your virtue, thus giving us the right. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we call on you knowing that these are children. And dear wonderful God, they call on you because they believe in you. And they have the right through you to do this, for you have made them holy and godly and pure, even in their present body, as bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and as the apple of your eye, to even give your angels charge concerning them, to watch over them that they should be bored up in all of their ways and never, not even at any time, to dash their feet against the stone. So, Heavenly Father, as they turn their hearts and faith toward thee today, every person, I want you to bless them because of you, the mighty Holy Ghost, the mighty fountain of life, the wonderful fountain of life. Oh, Lord, that water of life, the great, wonderful Shekinah glory. May he, the Holy Ghost himself, through the name Jesus, that water of life, come down upon these, fill their vessels, cleanse their vessels, strengthen them in mind and spirit. Oh, God, and be with them to give them the desire of their heart, to take care of them in every way. Oh, Lord, give them long life and blessings, endurance and health, and all of these things that they so desire and need. Take care of them, oh God, I pray thee. I commit them to thy trust because I believe that you're able to do it, that you will do it in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen, and God bless you.